Hey everybody, and welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Home Run Applesauce's minor league podcast. I'm Steve Sipa, and I'm joined this week by Lucas Vlahos, Ken Levin, and Thomas Henderson. How's everyone doing tonight?
Doing pretty good.
Doing well. Softball game was a success, and I don't have to do the outro this week, which was a fucking disaster last time around, so that's a plus.
It wasn't as bad as
it was pretty,
you
it
made
pretty
it
bad.
Seem.
It was pretty bad. It's amazing how easy it sounds like when you do it. I'm like, yeah, I know the words to this. I can totally vamp this off the cuff. Oh, now it's time to do it. What's English?
You know, like almost every single word that I say on the podcast, on any topic, I have like almost every single thing written down because my brain just doesn't work good sometimes. So always. All right. So promote, extend, or trade. So back in 1859, on today's date, John Brown, he raided the armory at Harper's Ferry in West Virginia. And John Brown is a personal hero of mine. And obviously his raid didn't, you know, work out. Things did not go as planned, and he got captured and executed. But he wrote, while he was in jail, one of the most like badass quotes about American history to me. His quote was, "I, John Brown, am now quite certain that the crimes of this guilty land will never be purged away but with blood." And then, of course, the Civil War, you know, took place a couple of years later. So that's a long-winded way of getting to a promote extend trade regarding the greatest baseball quotes.
Okay. This is one of those ones where I had absolutely no idea which direction you were possibly going with this.
Promote extend trade, favorite abolitionists.
Branch Rickey?
All right, so we have our baseball quotes. First is from Yogi Berra. And, of course, you could probably just do Yogi Berra quotes alone. But we have Yogi Berra's "It Ain't Over Till It's Over." We have Lou Gehrig's "Today I Consider Myself the Luckiest Man on the Face of the Earth." And then, finally, we have Jackie Robinson's "A Life Is Not Important Except in the Impact That It Has on Other Lives."
Damn.
I have a hot take.
Sure.
Yogi Berra quotes are stupid.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I think that's the point.
Yeah.
But people talk about him like he's this great baseball man, and he just says utter nonsense. And they're like, yep, okay, Yogi. Whatever you say, Grandpa. Like, let's get you back to bed now. I've never understood the Yogi Berra obsession.
I feel like the Yogi quote here kind of is, when you look at the importance of the other two men and what they're talking
too.
About, what they're talking about here, like Jackie Robinson is like, he broke the color barrier, obviously, and Lou Gehrig with Lou Gehrig's disease, and then Yogi Berra is just like saying stuff. Like, it's a fun quote, but I mean, that one kind of got to get traded when you look at it from a importance perspective, I would say.
On the one hand, we have two of the seminal figures in not just baseball history, but arguably American history.
Yeah.
And on the other, we have senile grandpa who got out of the nursing home and somehow wound up managing a baseball team again.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really argue with that. Although, I guess I will say, I mean, Jackie Robinson obviously is a very important figure in American history. Lou Gehrig,
I mean, I think when you consider how prevalent and bad ALS is, like...
Right.
I think he counts, because it is named
his
after...
disease.
He was literally the first person to see it in it, or... first person that people saw it in, and it just happens to be a baseball man. You know what I mean?
That's a true point. That's a good point too. It's the outside of baseball influence of the name, if nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah, like you say Lou Gehrig, and that's what you think of, and you think of how many lives it affected and how devastating of a disease it is, you know? So I think he does count.
Counterpoint to that, though. You think Yogi Berra's name, you think Yogi Bear, and how many lives did he influence and impact over the years?
Yes, obviously. That's the first place my brain goes, obviously.
Mm.
Yogi Bear, or excuse me. Gehrig versus Robinson's an interesting one.
I feel like Lou Gehrig's quote is more widely quotable, whereas Jackie Robinson's quote is more like philosophically profound.
Because
today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth is a quote that, you know, outside of baseball context, people will use, you know?
I'm trying to figure out how I put this into words, right? Like, Jackie Robinson's quote is probably, like, agnostic of setting, the more philosophically impactful statement. Mm-hmm. But I think in the context of, like, Gehrig's quote in the context of baseball, both in terms of what it means to be a player or what it means to be a fan, particularly the sorts of fans who record and or listen to podcasts of this nature, it's the most baseball impactful quote because it gives you a chance to step back and appreciate things for a moment. Like, for all the bitching and moaning we do and how generally unfun it is a lot of the time to be a Met fan, we still have it pretty good in the grand scheme of things. I don't think you can go wrong picking either of these, of course.
Yeah, I think I have Steve first. I think Jackie edges out Gehrig for me.
Sure.
Oh, poor Yogi is getting the boot.
Oh, yeah, it's just not... It is not a fair fight in this scenario.
No.
For wonderful Mets legend Yogi Berra.
It's basically... It is the meme of the dragon. You have two serious... Yeah. Or the Hydra.
Uh-huh.
Two serious faces.
Ghidorah.
And then you have the doofy face. Yes.
Yeah, it's the meme with King Ghidorah. I just had a thought. This is another moment where I really wish that 42 movie had been better. Just very disappointing overall. That movie was more about Branch Rickey than it was about Jackie Robinson, honestly, which was...
Yeah. It's the whole for good and for bad. The whole story has kind of become like American mythology, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, of the things that could be American mythology, it's certainly not the worst one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good ending, a good, you know, good comes of it, you know. All right, so we'll move on now. We will quickly touch, because to be honest, I don't really think there's too much to really talk about, but we'll quickly touch the Arizona Fall League. And we are in week 2 of the AFL. The Glendale Desert Dogs are paltry 2-10. Very fun team.
They're tanking for a draft pick.
Hell yeah.
Is there a good one? Has someone come up with a good one for, not that he's going to be the first overall pick, but Caglione? Crappy for
crappy.
Caglione. Yeah, it's not great.
Be also crappy for Faggy.
Very overrated prospect. It's probably going to be Sankara or something at the top. Anyway.
He's the two-way Florida guy.
Yeah, the two-way guy with, like, huge power but no plate approach and huge velocity but no command or secondaries.
It's going to be the second baseman from Oregon State.
Or Nick Kurtz, the first baseman.
What is his name?
Sankara. Thomas Sankara. No, Thomas
Sin Cara.
No, I'm fucking around. That's not what it is. I'm looking it up right now.
Sin Cara is a wrestler, and yes, he was yes.
This roster page is totally unhelpful. What am I looking at? Oregon, why is this how you laid out your... This is terrible. Why do all college baseball teams have just awful roster pages? Yep. Anyway.
Well, yeah. So does anyone have any constructive feedback or comments or anything about the performance of the Mets players in the AFL so far? Because to be honest, it's
the AFL truly feels like a exhibition league, and it's a go get your swings in and work out some stuff type place.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. Like, it doesn't really, I'm not going to move Parada up or down my board, my prospect list in 3 months because of the AFL. I'm just not going to. It is what it is.
To illustrate this, the best hitter in the AFL right now is Liam Hicks, who is batting 571, 647, 714. You probably haven't heard of Liam Hicks because he's a 24-year-old catching prospect for the Rangers who spent this year in AA and hits for literally no power.
Also, Travis Bazana is who I was talking about.
Yes.
He's probably going to go 1-1, at least if it was right now.
Yeah, I think I'd take Kurtz personally, but I do not have a strong opinion on it. Anyway.
Yeah, the AFL kind of is sucky this year. Like, literally, you have Parada, which obviously he's an interesting player, but we really don't care about anything that he does, to be honest. And no one else that they sent to the AFL is really remotely that interesting. I mean, JT Schwartz and Rowdy Jordan, they're nice guys to have in your system. I don't really know if there's much there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of MLB upside, but, and, you know, DeAndre Smith.
I could not care less about DeAndre Smith.
That's just what the AFL is. You're not sending your good prospects there.
No. I generally agree with the sentiment that we shouldn't be overreacting to the AFL, particularly 7 games worth of AFL. That said, Kevin Parada has a 10-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. Like, more than the lack of power, more than the low OPS. That troubles me a bit.
How many games has he played?
7. 26 bat. He's struck out 10 times in 7 games.
I mean, that's not great, but I was just curious.
Yeah. It's not a huge sample. Guys can have bad stretches, of course. Maybe he's gassed. That part is a little... Because even if a guy's just getting some work in, trying some stuff out, that level of...
You don't expect him to strike out like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who's supposed to be coming in as a polished hitter and blah, 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 blah. And, you know... Yeah. Suboptimal.
Yeah. Definitely not what we, I don't want to say what we were expecting, but definitely not what we want to see.
Mm.
All right, now we're going to shift gears a little bit. And last week we went over Mets hitters and pitchers from the past season and, you know, the guys that we thought were the standouts of the 2023 season and, you know, the other players that were in contention and everything. So this week we are going to do something similar, but a little bit broader. We're going to crown the team of the year, which is basically the team that whatever factors you're taking into account here, you know, was the most enjoyable for you, be it roster, run differential, prospects, mascot, whatever. So just a quick review. The Mets, you know, they fielded seven teams in the past season. There was the DSL Mets Blue and the DSL Orange, which were in the Dominican Summer League. There's the FCL Mets, and they were in the Florida Complex League. Then there's the St. Lucie Mets in the Florida State League, the Brooklyn Cyclones in the South Atlantic League, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies in the Eastern League, and then the Syracuse Mets in the International League. So I guess we'll just start from, like, the bottom up, I guess. Why not? So does anyone have any votes for the DSL Mets Blue or the DSL Mets Orange as the team of the year?
Nah, I don't think so. Yeah. We just don't have enough.
Yeah.
We don't have eyes on them like that.
I mean, the most interesting
player. It's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah. The most interesting player early was Christopher Lares, and then he fell off, and then he got suspended for steroids.
Hmm. I wonder why he fell off.
Hmm. Curious.
interesting.
I'm getting a big clue here. It was Gutierrez was down there and didn't, right? He was in the DS. Please, someone tell me I'm wrong if I am, but. Like, he didn't do a whole lot. The most interesting player for the whole year is probably Jeremy Rodriguez, and he didn't get there till August, so.
You brought up Gutierrez, Daverson, Gutierrez. I don't know why, but I introduced my brother, like, last week to the Immaculate Grid on Baseball Reference, and one of the things was, like, I was just showing him random ones that I hadn't done. And one of the things was like a Mariners outfielder, a Mariners Gold Glover. And so I filled in Franklin Gutierrez, and he didn't know who Franklin Gutierrez was.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I feel like, how do you not know Franklin Gutierrez? But Franklin Gutierrez is obviously not Daverson Gutierrez, who is a catcher and not a Gold Glover.
No.
And not a good hit either. Watching a lot of clips of him, I have some very big concerns about his swing. Mm-hmm. But he's also like 17, so
yeah,
his swing will be completely
different. I have concerns about every 17-year-old swing, to be honest. Like, yes. if I don't, then they're like real good.
It's Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, you know what? Good with his swing at 17. I'm okay with where this is at.
That's very true.
Juan Soto, I think it could stick around at 17.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe this is the time we'll finally learn to not get excited about DSL.
Nope.
They're signing big name DSL players again, and we're getting okay. We're doing it. It'll never.
That's just gonna. It's always gonna happen because it's the new thing. I'm gonna be guilty of it too. It's fine.
Oh, absolutely. I am all aboard the Jeffrey Rosa train, baby.
What are Simon Juan and Willie Fañez up to? The answer is not much.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to go up to the FCL Mets to see how they are doing.
Excellent. Beautiful segue, Steve. Beautiful.
The FCL Mets went 32-18 last season, so they did have a winning record. They were actually a pretty good team. So do we have any votes for the FCL Mets as being the team of the year?
Oh, they're up there for me. I found them very fun. Because we got a few draft picks to go there, which was really fun. We got a few trade guys. Ronald Hernandez was really good in the for the Mets, hitting .286, .509, .486, and it was not very many games, like 14, but still. Then like AJ Ewing was there, and Boston Barrow was there. Nick Morabito was really good there this year, which is funny for us purposes.
Not doing this. I'm not. We're not doing this offseason.
Was not good there, but he played there. Who else am I looking for? There's another name I was looking for on here. I'm Sutella. On there. Yes, like he was like it was actually a really fun team, and there was at one point too many of them. like they needed to like especially in that immediate post draft signing thing where they weren't promoting guys yet. That roster was like crazy bloated. Like every day, like it felt like the starting nine was like different because they just needed to get guys in the lineup. But I found that team really fun because it was just a fun mix. Oh, Marco Vargas was there, obviously. He wasn't the greatest as after the trade, but still, that's a very exciting prospect. And yeah, it was just a very exciting team. And a lot of new faces to the organization made their debut this year in that level. So that's why I found this one. And it's good that they were good. Like, it's always good when the young teams are really good, because that it doesn't portend anything, but it's better than if they sucked, you know?
Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were a fun team. I think they got knocked out of the playoffs in like literally the first round or whatever, but
hey, I know they made it to the championship and lost, or the second round or something. I can't remember.
I just remember the Braves won.
Yes, I do know. I do remember the FCL Braves one, but
it's the only level where they could win championships. All right, let's move up now to St. Lucie Mets. Did anyone at any point in time whatsoever consider the St. Lucie 2023 season fun?
No.
Early
before
on,
the season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a giant fanboy for both Jett and Reimer, and both of them started here. Now, neither posted great top-line numbers here, but I think the underlying data was pretty strong throughout. This is not exactly a compelling case.
Yeah, like, honestly, I think that would literally be the only thing that I found fun about the St. Lucie Mets season was having, you know, Statcast data available.
Mm.
Literally nothing about the on the field performance, just having the data. That was my favorite part of their season. Well,
and the rest of that roster is just incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, that was rough. That was like worst case scenarios across the board.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, literally on one hand, you can count the guys that like actually did well. Well, Lucas, you mentioned Jett Williams before, and he was promoted to Brooklyn in July, or no, in August, I think it was. And not that he was bad in St. Lucie, but he was considerably better in Brooklyn than he was in St. Lucie. So,
what if the vibes are just really bad in St. Lucie?
I mean, that's possible. I've never been to St.
Lucie.
Ken, you're the resident St. Lucie expert. How are the vibes?
Vibes aren't bad, but aren't great.
Okay.
Pretty standard for that part of Florida.
Well, that says a lot, I guess. But the Brooklyn Cyclones 2023 season, they weren't great in the first half, but they were very good in the second half. They got into the playoffs. Oh, no, they didn't, excuse me. They lost on the last day. That's very Metsian. Any votes for the Brooklyn Cyclones having the team of the year?
I am a little tempted to, because this is where Jett kind of showed to everyone what he is.
Lucas, you could have said Jett took off, and you didn't. And I'm
Oh, my God.
Fuck!
I was waiting for when you said Jett, I was like, you better say where Jett took off, and you did it. Oh.
God damn it.
Like, honestly, I think I might just fire you right now on the spot.
You're right to. Holy shit. I'm gonna head out, you know? Fuck. God damn. I mean, I'm out here. What do the youth say now? Rising up, Jett, or whatever the fuck, and I can't even get the goddamn headline right. Anyway,
never say that again, please.
This is a total aside. Do you remember that like 24-hour period on Twitter where someone was going on about Baby Gronk being rizzed up by
Libby.
I remember logging on, like, I've definitely had moments where I've not understood something on the internet. It has never been as bad as that, where I just read that sentence and said, I don't understand. The only word I understand in this sentence is Gronk, and everything else is completely irrelevant. They might as well be speaking ancient Aramaic. I don't know what's happening here.
Well, you've officially joined us in the ranks of being old. Congratulations. Yeah.
Okay, okay, Boomer. Where's the soundboard so I can get a Left 4 Dead clip here? We got a Boomer. yeah, Jet in Brooklyn as a 19-year-old, 299, 451, 567. More walks than strikeouts. 7 homers in 35 games.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, he now, took the next step there, for sure, yeah, in his development.
Does that outweigh Alex Ramirez falling off a cliff, which I expected? Kevin Parada bottoming out, which I did not expect. Mediocre pitching, which kind of is always the case in Brooklyn. Like, for me, it kind of does. I know what team we're all going to wind up picking, but I'm very close to actually picking Brooklyn just because this is where the Jet breakout really took off. There you
Thank
go.
You.
Happy?
Hey. Thank you.
Very good.
Better late than never.
That's what I say every time my flights are delayed, too.
I mean, he certainly energized the team. There's no denying that his promotion coincided with the second half surge and basically doing as well as they did. I think they were 10 games over in the second half, or close enough. And really, like you mentioned Parada, who was promoted to Binghamton. You mentioned Tidwell, pitching. Tidwell's one of those guys. He was promoted to Brooklyn, Binghamton. So, I mean, Jet really did carry that entire team, on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I'm giving a half vote here to Brooklyn because it's hard not to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. next we have the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. And similar to Brooklyn, this first half they were, I think they were exactly 500 or just a game over, mediocre. And then in the second half they were a lot better, and they eventually made it to the Eastern League Finals. And unfortunately, they lost to the Erie Seawolves, the Detroit Tigers affiliate, but it was a good team. It was a good season. And they have my other half vote for Team of the Year.
Yeah. That was a really good half of baseball for them. That was really fun.
I mean, when was the last time we had I guess it's any roster with Beatty and Alvarez on it, so maybe that's less of a provocative question than I wanted it to be, but a roster with Gilbert, Williams, Acuna, Parada, the last two who you can have mixed opinions on, Tidwell, Hamill, Scott, Tyler Stewart. Like, there's a lot of talent on that roster come the end of the year.
Ton of talent.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys we don't all necessarily love, but still.
That's, I think what we...
It's also like, guys, even if we don't love them for whatever reason, you see the vision, you see why. You know what I mean? Like, like, I'm a little lower on Acuna. Like, me and Lucas have said this a few times. Like, I don't think Acuna sucks or is a bad prospect. He's just like maybe 10 slots lower than other people for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a little worse for me than other people. It's like I see the vision with all these guys, and that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. And then I think what made this team so good, excuse me, is that, in addition to those premium names, you had a team that had a bunch of role players and just farmhands and depth guys, whatever you want to call them, that had, really great seasons. JT Schwartz hit 300. I mean, does it really matter in the grand scheme? No, but
it's fun.
Good, right? It's like good for him. He hit 300. Matt Rudick, who had his season. Yeah. Matt Rudick had his season end early because of injuries and stuff, but he was well into a breakout season. Rylan Thomas was only there for a couple of games, but he hit, you know, he hit 353. Like, that's awesome. You know, a lot of, you know, Luke Ritter started his crazy season, and was just hitting home runs literally left and right for, you know,
mostly left actually, but you know,
yeah, that is true. Brandon McIlwain had a very solid season in Binghamton, and then, you know, got a little bit better, at least on the surface numbers, in Syracuse. It was just a lot of guys supporting the Stars, you know, and top to bottom, it's like, it was just a fun team.
I also think part of the fun factor here is that it's double A, and a lot of these guys will be in Syracuse next year or getting called up to Syracuse, and then, like, we're talking about seeing you in the major leagues. And that's also adds to the fun factor for me when you're like, hey, these guys are getting, like, this is like the first step of the doorstep, you know, when starts playing really well in double A. Like, obviously when a guy's good in Brooklyn, you're like, ah, let me keep an eye on him. But when Jet's doing this in Binghamton, you're like, oh, now we could talk about Jet Williams, New York Met next year. You know what I mean? And at some point. And that's cool too. That's it, cool in a different way. And that's, while the FCL Mets were really fun, all those dudes are really far. Like, even the best case scenario. But the best case scenario for, like, Drew Gilbert is see you in, like, 2 months into the season, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really cool too, on the other end of the spectrum.
They also, am I remembering correctly, beat the Yankees in the playoffs.
Yes,
they played Somerset and they bested actually I'm not even sure if he pitched, to be honest.
Drew Thorpe, he pitched,
yeah, they
game
beat
one.
Drew Thorpe in the first game, right?
Yeah,
okay, yeah, that was,
and that's Dominic, like, a top prospect, like,
yes,
yeah,
like, he's good.
Would have been nice to cap it off with the championship. They eventually lost to the Orioles or the Red Sox.
Tigers.
I'm really on top of it tonight, as you can tell. But, you know, if you can't win it all, knocking the Yankees out, that's not a bad consolation prize.
Right.
Well, we take those.
You know what? The Tigers could use a moral victory, so good for
them.
Yeah,
yeah, we can give that one. We can give this one to them.
Miguel Cabrera is, you know, retiring. They don't have him anymore. They could use a little boost. And I'm sure that Eastern League 2023 champion will really boost the morale of the fan base. All right. And last team we have here are the Syracuse Mets. And they had a season. The International League as a whole had a what a year.
Yeah.
If anyone can explain AAA baseball this season, give them the Nobel Prize. I don't know which one, but give them one of the Nobel Prizes.
Physics, I guess.
Literature. Who knows if there's actually a scientific explanation?
I don't
beyond
know.
Science.
Bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, the team was not good on paper. It was fun seeing for, like, three games or however long it was, Mauricio, Vientos, Beatty, and Alvarez all on the same team at the beginning of the year. Ronnie Mauricio was there all season. Alvarez was called up after, you know, three games or whatever it was. And then Vientos and Beatty spent considerable time with the Mets, but they also spent a decent amount of time with Syracuse, too. So we'll give them that. It was fun to see, you know, a bunch of the top prospects on the same team hanging out, playing together. And they all did considerably better in AAA than they did in the major league. So that's nice, too.
I mean, counterpoint, that was actually really fucking annoying because now we're going to have to listen to people saying that Ronnie Mauricio and Mark Vientos are future starting contributors to this team, which is just tedious at this point. And also the time Brett Beatty spent there didn't really seem to help him resolve his major issues, which sucks.
It was just such a weird environment. Like, I don't know how you evaluate anything. Like, everything that everyone touched went 7,000 feet. So what are you supposed to do with that information, you know? It's one of those. It makes it difficult. It really does. But it did make for very entertaining scores. Like, there were some, like, 12-10 wins. I'm like, what is going on?
And, I'm trying to see who led the team. Let's check some innings here. Game started. That's better.
Who led? All right, that's a fun question. Who led the Syracuse Mets in innings? Jose Buddo?
Yes, he did.
There we go.
Now, who led the Syracuse Mets among starting pitchers with 10 or more games? So that's at least, you know, a decent, that's about 3 months or so, whatever. Or, no, not that much. It's about 2 months, whatever. In ERA.
Who led?
That's, yes, that's the question. Who had the best ERA
among Lucchese. Starters?
Yep.
Wow.
Nailed it.
He had a team-leading 4.74 ERA.
Wait, does
I wonder what that was for the league, like league adjusted.
Yeah, does Baseball Reference give us league adjusted? This is a completely meaningless stat, so I don't know where to find it. Let's see if
I don't know about adjusted or anything, but the league average is 5.18. So,
whoa,
Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
ERA plus. Holy fuck. Wait, no. Oh, I got excited for a second. That's for the major leagues. Did you know that Joey Lucchese had a 1.47 ERA plus in the major leagues
really
this
good.
Year?
Yeah. When they called him up, yeah. Him
and no, they do not have ERA plus for AAA. That's very disappointing. It's going to be like, holy shit, he had a 4.7 ERA, and that was 40% better than league average.
And it's well in the realm of possibility
with
how that was.
Huh, you know what's pretty impossible? This is a crazy stat. So, among pitchers who threw, let's 30 innings or more, so this is going to include relievers now. Mm-hmm. And you probably don't think anyone will get this one. But 30 innings in the 2023 Eastern League. Zach Muckenhern had the best ERA.
Could not have guessed Zach Muckenhern, no.
Do you know what his ERA was?
Mariners legend, Zach Muckenhern.
Zach Muckenhern
threw 3.3.
3.3, okay. Any other guesses?
3.5.
Okay. Ken,
7.5.
Okay, you are all way off.
We suck.
Zach Muckenhern had 30.2 innings in the East in the International League. He had a 0.88 ERA.
What?
Y'all want to know his FIP?
I was just about to say.
I know that FIP going crazy. I know it's going crazy.
His FIP was 4.13. His ex-FIP was 5.58. Yeah. He struck out fewer than 6 batters per 9 and walked almost 4. What?
That's an incredible combination of numbers. I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
He's got the omega whammy of 230 BABIP, 95% left on base, and 50% ground ball.
That'll play. Among pitchers who threw at least 3.1 innings, there are two players that are tied for the best ERA. One is Dylan Hall. The other one, Anthony Kay.
I would have gotten Kay if you gave me a second there. Dylan Hall. Who the hell is Dylan Hall? Who is this?
25-year-old reliever.
Okay, so he's not real. Great.
No, he was a undrafted free agent guy that the Mets signed.
Dylan Hall is a psyop.
He might be.
To convince us that AAA wasn't actually that bad this year.
Mm-hmm. My favorite Anthony K stat better than his zero ERA is his 21.6 strikeouts per nine. That'll play. And 2.7 walk.
You might legit be a guy worth having around next year.
Yeah, they should keep him. They should keep him, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to have a bunch of 40-man spots at the start of the offseason, so I would not be surprised if they keep him on the 40 and maybe try to sneak him through waivers before the start of the season at some point.
Let him compete in camp and see how he looks and with the new philosophies and stuff that Stearns will bring in.
Mm-hmm. Looking at his baseball reference page, minor league, numbers included, that is an incredibly long baseball reference page. For a guy who was drafted in 26K.
Mm.
He's been around after the trade, I feel, away from
Yeah, no. For a guy that was drafted 2016 and missed, you know, time because of Tommy John wasn't pitching immediately, he's played on a lot of and then missed 2020 completely. Oh, but he played in the major leagues. There you go. Okay. A lot of teams he's played on. Well, yeah. So all this basically just reinforces that AAA last year, everything is a farce. So I guess it is consensus that the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, 2023 team of the year, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
With an honorary mention to the Jet Williams Cyclones.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's the show for the week. So if anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you could send us an email at our email address from complextoqueens@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I'm at Steve Saipa. Lucas is at LFAHost343. Ken is at KenLevin91. Thomas is at SadMetSeason, SZN. Subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. Rate and review it. And, of course, we thank you for listening. And we are Patreon-based, so if you do like our podcast or any of the other ones that are in the Homer and Apple network, you could subscribe for just $5 a month. And that is how it's done, Lucas.
Thank you. Yes. Someday
we'll be
I'll
back
learn.
Next week. Yep. So until next week, love the Mets. Love the Mets.